Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Thursdays at 3, we normally have Sheil Kapadia, but we have him on Wednesday because we have our Big Phillies Pep Rally tomorrow. Sheil of the Ringer is sponsored by Dr. Raffi and Precision Hair Restoration. You'll keep losing your hair until you stop it. Dr. Raffi can help you get your confidence back. Visit PhillyHairMD.com today. Sheil, how are we feeling, man?
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
What up, Sheil?
So before we get to the Eagles, our whole show today is an intervention for Jack, who is truly terrified of the Mets and said in the first segment he thinks if the Phillies play the Mets will probably win. We're finding that a lot of people in Philadelphia are terrified of the Mets. You, as a true Philly guy, are you also afraid of the Mets?
No, it's absurd. First of all, you muster up your sports hate, which we don't have enough of in our lives, a team that you can really... you want their fans to suffer. You want them to get their hopes up, beat the Brewers, come in, and then you squash them like little bugs. So, no, Jack is texting me even today, so I'm scared. Settle down, okay? The Phillies are going to beat the Mets, and the Mets fans are going to go home crying. So bring
stick
them
to the tape, Kapadia.
Yeah,
stick to the tape.
That's what I'm talking about, Sheil. Don't listen to Jack.
Listen, again. I want to make this clear to everyone out there. I hope they beat the Mets.
Well,
like, there's nothing I more want more in the world. I'm just terrified of them.
No, they lost to the Diamondbacks, as I told you, they lost to the Diamondbacks last year, so there's no sense in worrying about this opponent versus opponent.
Thank you.
They're going to be okay. We're going to be playing for a while here.
All right. Well, your lips to God's ears, because I don't know how long we'll be talking about the football team, to be quite honest with you. So you know, the Eagles have played four games. Three of the games defensively have been bad. At least the first two games defensively, there were good things to take away. This one did not seem that way. Do you think the Eagles' problem on defense is a personnel issue or is it a scheme issue?
I got to say, watching this game back, the personnel really stood out to me. You know, there are so many plays where a guy is in position. You know, I remember Avante Maddox on that play. And then misses a tackle. It's a 28-yard gain. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson missed tackle against the run. And N'Kobe Dean, like, you have guys over and over again where I'm looking at it going, a lot of football is just one-on-one, their guy versus your guy, who has the edge there. And a lot of stuff in this game I thought was more personnel-based than coaching-based. That's not to say Vic Fangio can't make adjustments and do a better job, but I do wonder in some of these matchups, whether they're just going to be losing those one-on-ones against some of the better offenses in the NFL.
Do the Eagles have the personnel? You know, Vic Fangio, great defensive coordinator, but is famous for playing a certain way. Do you think the Eagles have the personnel to play the scheme that he runs most often?
Well, it hasn't looked that way so far, but I was looking at Fangio last year with the Miami Dolphins. And if you look at it, their first month of the season, they had one of the worst defenses in the entire NFL by whatever statistic you want to look at. And they really got better to a point where, you know, by, I don't know what week it was, but week 9, 10, 11, you looked at it and said, this defense is really coming on. And then they got some injuries at the end. But the point is, he does play a complicated defense. It does take time for a lot of the guys specifically on the back end to know their rules and what they're supposed to be doing. So if you want to be optimistic about it, there is kind of a precedent there that these Fangio defenses in the past have started off slow, but as guys have gotten more comfortable, they've played better. Now that's one aspect of it, but up front, that's where my concern is a little bit. You know, I don't know. Bryce Huff, what we've seen so far, a 4-week sample here, like if their pass rush isn't good, I don't know that you can continue to play this way.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. I think Sheil, even last week, I think Milton Williams started in place of Bryce Huff last week in that game. If I'm not correct, I think Milton Williams was playing on the outside end as Vic may have switched up his scheme against Tampa. It didn't work no matter what he did. I just wonder, Shill, if we just focus on the defense, still here for a minute. The want to in that game wasn't there for me. Like it seemed like to me the defense had a built-in excuse that the offense was undermanned, that they weren't going to put up a lot of points today. It was 105 degrees, and they never seemed like they were into that game. I know the offense didn't play well, but, I mean, you got to at least slow down that Tampa Bay offense to give your offense a chance to get going. Before we all blinked, it was 14-0 on its way to 21-0.
Yeah, no, I mean, I felt the same way. It was a no-show. You look at that the Bucs had a drive, I think, with their second drive, where they didn't even get to a third down. It was first down, first down, first down, first down, and then I think you got one incompletion, and then they scored a touchdown. So it was not a competitive effort from that group. And, you know, I know it was hot and all those things, but, man, when you come out, that's not a juggernaut offense. I mean, you know, our expectations for this Eagles team coming into the season, it wasn't, hey, maybe they can get into the playoffs. Like, this, there's a lot riding on this season. And so when you face Tampa and you put that kind of performance together, like, what's it going to look like against the Lions or the 49ers or some of these other offenses that you may have to face down the road if you want to get to where you're going? So, yeah, I'm with you. Whether it was a combination of a bunch of stuff, guys not playing well, I'm with you that it didn't feel like they went out there with that urgency that, hey, you know, we can still win this game. We can be the reason why we win this game. And it showed up with sloppiness and missed tackles and miscommunications and all those things that you see from a bad defense.
I didn't add the other, I guess, scenario to this, to that equation. I wanted to save it for last to have it separately to get your thoughts on it. You brought up Vic Fangio last year in Miami, and they got off to a slow start. Well, at some point, their defensive players, I don't know how much they were still buying in to what Vic Fangio wanted them to do. And certainly by the end of the year, they weren't sad to see him go. I only say that to say, Vic has been, he's very honest when he gets up there to the podium. We love that as fans and as the media because he's not sugarcoating anything. I just wonder, is there any concern that the players are still buying into him and whether or not his messaging is starting to fall on deaf ears? I'm not panicking about it yet, but I am keeping my eye on that.
Listen, it's been something to keep an eye on since the day they hired him. I mean,
yeah,
he leaves Miami and all their players, not all their players, but,
a lot of them.
Players.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't just one guy. When it's just one guy, you can say, all right, every coach probably has someone who they don't get along with. I mean, it was a bunch of starters, a handful of starters who are going on social media or even just talking to reporters openly about it, how they didn't necessarily like playing for Vic Fangio and playing in that scheme. And so from the minute that happened, you had to keep an eye on it. And there's a lot of relationship dynamics with this football team right now. You know, Vic Fangio wanted to practice a certain way in the summer that he was very open about from the first time we heard from him. You mentioned the relationship with players. How about the front office stuff? I mean, they go out and they sign Bryce Huff to $17 million per year. And you mentioned it, Ike. He's not a starting player for them right now. You know, Vic Fangio looks like he's got no use for the guy right now. So now this is all stuff that if you win, you know, coming off the bye, you beat the Browns. All right, everything gets a little calm. If you lose a little bit more and you're 2-3 and 2-4, now that's stuff we absolutely have to continue to keep an eye on.
By the way, not putting this on Fangio, but fair to mention that most of the social media stuff after the game was on the defensive side of the football. It was Isaiah Rodgers, who isn't, you know, it was a special teams play, but as
a defensive player.
Devin White, defensive player. Bryce Huff, defensive player. Darius Slay, defensive player. And on, I know this is how guys are, but on some level, it speaks to the respect or things like that. And it's just like, it's a little weird. So Shil Kapadia of The Ringer is on with us. So Shil, over to the offense. So let's put the turnovers to the side for a second. Aside from that, offense kind of eerily similar to the offense we saw last year. They don't really throw in the middle of the field. Jalen Hurts, not really under center. You know, they not even, you have a, we talked about all these catches that Saquon Barkley was going to get. We haven't seen much of that. Is that something that you think is on Kellen Moore? There's been conversation about whether that is Nick Sirianni and his influence or whether it's Jalen Hurts. Your gut, where does it lead you on that?
Yeah, it's really puzzling, but that's what stood out from this game the most. I know they had the injuries. No one was expecting them to have 500 yards and 30 points. But watching this offense, I looked at it and I'm just like, this looks exactly like what we saw last year. I thought Kellen Moore was supposed to come in, not necessarily overhaul the entire thing, but these wrinkles, these sort of modern nuances that NFL offenses have in 2024. When you look around the NFL, there's none of that here. I mean, I can't believe that they're throwing the middle of the field less often than they did last season. So it's honestly an answer that it's a question we need an answer to, because is this Nick Sirianni having more input on the offense than maybe we think from the outside? Is this Kellen Moore coming in and saying, hey, I was going to play a certain way, but, you know, I look at the personnel and I look at what Jalen Hurts is good at, and now I understand why the Eagles were doing certain things last season. So I think it's probably a combination of all those things. But, you know, Ike talked about the defense not being prepared to play. The offense hasn't scored a point in the first quarter. They got one first down on their opening drive all season long. And, you know, if you want to stick up for the defense, you say it's hot there, and you're going three and out your first three possessions, and they're playing how many snaps in the first half of that football game? So it's all connected. But, yeah, the offense, I'm with you. I thought it was going to look different. I thought the changes were going to be more significant. And, you know, my gut, I don't know what my gut says on it. It's one of the biggest mysteries around the team right now.
Yeah, I just keep going back to we've been through this 100 times. You know, my position would be that it is a Jalen thing, in that I don't know why. If I'm just reading tea leaves, if I'm just thinking structurally, if I'm reading tea leaves, I'm like, well, Kellen Moore has done X his entire career. He gets here. The only reason he would do Y is if A, Jalen wasn't, he didn't think Jalen was capable of doing it, or B, Nick Sirianni, who almost got fired in the offseason, had a new offensive coordinator. The team was very clear that it was the offensive.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coordinators, you know, ship, and that after all that, Nick Sirianni is like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sneak in and make Kellen Moore play this other boring way that didn't work last year. It just seems like it would be a crazy thing for Nick Sirianni. I wouldn't put it. It's not impossible, I guess. It just doesn't feel likely if I'm just trying to figure out logically where the pieces fit.
Yeah, you're right. That's the more reasonable answer is what you're laying out there. And because Kellen Moore, if you look at his history, it's not like he's done the same thing at every stop. He's actually had some different offenses with Dallas, with the Chargers, and now with the Eagles. And so, you know, good coaching is figuring out what the players can do, what they're good at, and it could be a Jalen Hurts preference type deal where he says, well, let's try a little bit. I mean, when they've tried the under center play action stuff, it's looked terrible for the most part. So maybe they looked at it and said, this isn't working for us. Let's ditch this right away. Now, that's just one thing, but, you know, there's other stuff too. But yeah, it certainly could be more Hurts related than Sirianni related.
Shield, one more time, going to ask you to go to your gut. You know, we're only 4 games into the season. They're 2-2. It could be a lot worse, right? The entire league looks sloppy, I think, by and large, except for a few exceptions. Even contending teams look sloppy. Looking out for the rest of the season, would you bet that this gets better and they get to a team where we feel good about, or would you bet, if you had to, that it doesn't?
Well, I was just looking at the betting odds, and they're still the heavy favorites to win the NFC East over both the Cowboys and the Commanders. And if you look at the entire NFC to go to the Super Bowl, the only teams with better odds are the 49ers and the Lions. They're third in the entire NFC. So that made me say, all right, maybe I'm going a little overboard with what's happened through 4 games. So honestly, what I think is going to happen the rest of the way is they are going to be a competitive team, an up and down team, a team that frustrates the fan base on a lot of weeks. But when you get A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Lane Johnson back there on offense with Saquon Barkley playing the way he's playing, I don't think the floor is that low where this is going to be like a meltdown-type season like 2020. So I think they're going to be frustrating, but I still think, if I had to say today, I think they're going to make the playoffs, but it might not be, you know, reach much beyond the first round. That's kind of what my gut feels right now.
Well, Shield, we appreciate all the football analysis, but mostly we appreciate your confidence on the Phillies.
Yes.
That today is about getting Jack where he needs to be. And I think you, Bella, and Rios, some of our callers, have really started to push Jack in the right direction. Jack, are you feeling confident now against the Mets?
No.
Okay. I guess it's not working. I appreciate you, Shield.
Thank appreciate you. It, brother.
I'll be back next Thursday, and we'll be talking about an extended Phillies playoff run.
We're not all right.
About the end of the season.
Okay.
Yep.
Appreciate you, Shield. There he is, Shield Kapadia of The Ringer.
I'm getting actually more nervous.
You're getting more nervous about Phillies and Mets?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because now I've had to hear everyone talk about how not worried they are, and it's making me more worried.
Huh.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I think if they get past Milwaukee and we happen to play them, I think it makes for a more interesting, intense series. I do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's something that this baseball team would face head on and rise to the occasion. Like, I put all my stock into this Phillies team. Right? You know, I know what I said about the Eagles, and I haven't necessarily thrown in the towel on them, but I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and be like, oh, yeah, I believe the Eagles still get into the Super Bowl today. Right. Yeah, they're going to have to win a few games before I get back to that level. But the Phillies, I feel like I've been on this train from the jump of where I expect them to be. And we wanted them to get to this point in the season to close the deal. We're here. We're here at the start of the party. It's about to get started. You got Wheeler going Saturday. You got Nola going possibly Sunday, or Christopher Sanchez going Sunday. Either way, we got two games at home this weekend. No Eagles to distract us, so you don't have to worry about split loyalty this weekend. This whole city is going to be painted red this weekend, dude. And you're worried?
Yeah.
Nah, that place is going to be rocking.
Here we go. I wouldn't normally.
That place is going to be rocking this week. I can't wait to get there Saturday.
I wouldn't normally do this. Wouldn't normally read a tweet to you, Jack, because those people are not normally nice. But I think this might snap you out of it. Ziggy said, Jack Fritz is scared of his own shadow. The Mets can blank my blank. Hey, Jack, go blank yourself.
There you go.
You feel better now?
No.
Okay.
Oh, man, that was pretty good, Ziggy.
Yeah. Yoshi in Brewery Town. You're on WIP. What's up, Yoshi?
My man, Spike. All right, touch it, baby. No, I'm sorry. Jack's in the corner, acting like a sucker. Oh, man, Rio's the best.
Yeah.
It's weird October. It's the fighting field, and now you want to be scared? I mean, boy, you need some bravado in your life. The fight ain't even started.
I know.
You tuck and tell. Like, I swear, if I was to ever go out with you to the hood or somewhere, I'm going to call all my heavy hitters because I know you ain't got nothing with you. I'm going to start meeting you at chicken.
Dr. J, you got us?
Be quiet. You scared. You can't talk right now. I'm going to start coming down to Chicken Pete on Monday and walking you to your car because if something jump off, you ain't got no help. None whatsoever.
That's true, yeah.
You better hope all South Philly recognize who you are, because they will come to your rescue. Jack going to be in his Honda Accord, digging in his nose, thinking about getting home to the baby. I'm telling you, that boy needs to grow up. I'm so mad at you. That's why you don't wear no tank tops. Real men wear tank tops.
Dude, my arms are gross.
You wear tank tops. I love you to death, but cook, God Almighty. When I said cook, God Almighty, boy, it's serious. When Black folks say cook, God Almighty.
You know it's serious. Yes, sir.
You like grow up. But for real. And Spike.
Yes, sir.
You was worried about what's name looking like a convict with at a cater thing you said a
yes.
couple months back. What's name with a daggone polo shirt on. Cut your hair. I compared you to a convict in the movie Alpha Dog with a bald head. Justin was a convict.
He was, yes. He was.
Yeah. But you're going to look like you just got out of jail. And the only thing they gave you was your wallet back, a pair of Levi's, and a white T-shirt. Don't cut your hair. Don't do it. I'm setting you up. Jack, I need you all weekend. I'm gonna sing you some songs, and don't sing the lyrics out loud because you're not supposed to. But I want you to sing,
okay.
And I want you to sing all these songs. They will get you so hyped, bro. I mean, you will call me and say the wrong thing, but I'll accept it. What's his name? Like, Jack.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, well, we're listening.
You gotta do better, bro. You gotta do better. You finally beat me. I give you flowers. I don't make no excuses like your little minions did. What's the name when I beat them, when I punched them in their mouth? What's the name?
You're not at the top of the power rankings anymore, Yoshi.
It don't matter, boy.
Okay.
I already beat you. It don't matter where you stand. I already beat you. You can't talk. I'll punch you in your mouth and choke you out. I ain't even had to fight you for real. Fight now one time. You're not in the top. It don't matter. I was at the top last week. Ain't nobody been back-to-back at the top. You ain't going to be at the top next week. How about that? That was a dumb comment you just made.
Yoshi is in one everywhere.
Yeah. You're choking people out.
Good job. I'm now 4-1. I'll see you again.
All right.
Hey, boy. You got me, boy. You got me.
I got you. Yep.
I ain't mad about it. And y'all talking about Fordham yesterday. 12-5. I'm going to go down one game. And one more thing. I kept telling Jack yesterday. I said, Jack, listen to Johnny Cash, the coward of the county. Because you're the coward of the daggone city right now.
I know.
You need to be like Tommy in the song. Tommy some of them messing with Becky, and he had 20 years in him. Throw it up, and he whooped them tails in the bar. You need to have 30 years of man stored up and come out and pump your chest. You ridiculous right now, boy. You ridiculous. I love y'all. God bless you. I'll talk to you later.
Right.
Phil, Jack, you ridiculous.
All right, Yosh.
Seems I've disappointed people.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, well, I rely on you for baseball confidence.
The whole city does.
Yeah.
I know. But I also...
I faked it against the Knicks.
You
said I faked it against the Knicks.
You did fake saying it was the year.
Yeah.
But I just... That's all I think about.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. We
get me to 2 o'clock for hosting pregame
there.
On Saturday.
It's Wednesday, yes.
Well, I don't like the way that it's going, which is why the intervention today is going the wrong direction.
Yes. Go Brewers.
You're so scared.
They're going to win today.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think the Mets are losing again.
Yeah. The whole playoffs.
Yeah, they'll never lose again.
Yeah. It's intervention day. As we try to get Jack more confident, he believes that if the Mets advance, the Mets are going to beat the Phillies.
There's a chance.
Well, that's not what you said in the first segment. Twice. You didn't say chance. So intervention day, you can either talk some sense into Jack, or if you're nervous like Jack, if you're nervous like me, I can talk some sense into you.
Damn right. Or
we're all or Rios or Yoshi or Bella or yeah. We're all here for each other. That's what this show is. We're all here for each other. We're all in the foxhole together, except for Jack, who's running far away. Today's show is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door. Get the second and a half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Coming up next, the real true fear of this weekend at Citizens Bank Park, we will discuss. And I think it's on all of us, that once the game starts, the player, it's on them, but there is something that we can do. And we will talk about that next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.